The first resurrection was who? Do you remember who was the first resurrection?
Jesus.
Yes, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. And so you remember, Jesus was the very first resurrection. Nobody was actually resurrected before Jesus was. People were brought back to life. They were given back life, but that's not a resurrection. Resurrection is unto eternity, meaning you are resurrected unto life or you're resurrected unto eternal death. And so therefore, Jesus Christ is the first fruits. We read that in John 11:25 and Matthew 27 and Luke 20. And Jesus is the one who died. He went to hell, which is in paradise. Paradise was a place that was in hell. People forget that when they say Jesus went to hell. No, he didn't. Jesus didn't. And there's all this like argument. The Bible says in four places, thou shalt not leave thy soul in hell. So you can't argue with the Bible because your pastor taught you something else. Just keep the Bible the main thing. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus went to hell. Doesn't mean he was in flames and torment. No, don't believe that one for 1 second. And I told you why last week. He was in a place called paradise, which Jesus told to the man on the thief. He said, verily, today, surely today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And we know that Jesus said on the cross, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So we know the spirit went back to cry to God. His body was in the tomb and his soul was in hell, in paradise. And we also know that I just love this story, and we talked about it, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a little bit about being in the fiery furnace on Sunday morning, last Sunday, and how that Jesus was in the fire with them. And while Jesus was in the fire with them, not even a hair was singed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. I mean, it's just an amazing story. Well, I can just picture when the rich man and Lazarus, we talked about that, when rich man woke up in hell in flames and torment, and he saw Lazarus afar off in hell, but a place prepared for the saints in paradise where it says the trees of Eden were. And so it was a place where God brought Eden down into the center of the earth. Really just interesting stuff to study. But anyway, he saw Lazarus afar off, and he said, hey, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over just with a drop of water on my tongue from him, tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, he can't come to you. There's a great gulf. There's a great expanse between us and you. And it's funny because he says, so that those that are over there would want to come here. Yeah, they all would want to come there. Everybody would rush over there. And he says, and us who'd want to go there, we can't do it. But I can just see Jesus, because it tells us in 2 Peter, it tells us that Jesus went and preached unto the spirits in chains of darkness reserved for the day of judgment. Those that left the first habitation, those that were about before the flood, when the flood came and all these angels, the angels that fell, they're down in the chains of darkness. Jesus walked across that gulf that nobody could walk across, walked through the fire that nobody could fight, just like he did in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went into the lowest parts of the earth, preached unto the angels, and that's a whole other story in of itself. I love talking about that. But then when he came back, and it says that he led captivity captive in Ephesians, that he said, okay, boys, it's time, and all the saints of God, think about Adam and Seth, and all of them, not Enoch, because Enoch was taken up with God, translated. But all the Old Testament saints were all down there in a place waiting for the day that they could go to heaven. Because nobody could enter into heaven until God, Jesus, opened heaven. And so therefore, Jesus, being the first fruits, he rose from the dead. We saw that he met Mary, and he said, touch me not, Mary, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. And that means he was our high priest. He was in the order of Melchizedek. That's a whole other story. And he took his blood, and so when he went up, took his blood, placed it on the mercy seat. That's when God's wrath and God's anger with sin was all appeased. And now heaven was open, just as we saw when he died on the cross, the veil was torn in half from top to bottom. God has ripped it open. All can come unto me. So now, then we see during that time that when Jesus was the first fruit resurrected, during that time, we read Matthew, that many of the Old Testament saints, it says, were resurrected because Jesus stopped for a moment just to meet with Mary. That to me just is amazing that he would do, because if you really understood the priesthood and you really understood how, it's all right, you can come on in. If you really understood how sacred and holy and sanctified the priest had to be to enter into the Holy of Holies, Brother Joe, he couldn't let anyone touch him. He could never have a woman touch him. And like he would be defiled and he could not offer the offering, which is his own blood. So for him to stop and say, Mary, I mean, what an amazing God we have. What an amazing Christ we have that he would be so personal to stop and say, Mary, because Mary was there crying. And so therefore he just made a brief stop. Why he made that brief stop? All the resurrected saints that he came up with them were all walking around in Jerusalem. They all got resurrected bodies. They're walking around, Joe, going back home. Hey, Aunt Mary, you know, hey, Uncle, look, Grandma's back or whatever. And that must have been an amazing time. It was for a very short time. And then he went up to heaven, placed the blood, and then all the people went up into heaven. And then he came back and met the women on the side of the road and said, all hail. And then they came and they held on to him and they grabbed him. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is the first resurrections. And then the second resurrection that we talked about was from paradise, those people. The third resurrection we talked about was our spirits. Our spirits have been resurrected. When we received eternal life, being born again, born of the Spirit. Now our spirit, which was dead in trespasses and sins, our spirit that was dead with God now is quickened and made alive. And now we have eternal, everlasting life. And that spirit now is alive. That's in resurrection. Because it's our spirits now are connected with God. We have a connection with the Holy Spirit now. So therefore, that's the third resurrection. The fourth resurrection was the rapture. And that's where we ended up, and that's where we're going to start right now, the rapture of the church. We already talked about it last week, so let's just go real quickly, and then we'll get to the fifth, sixth, and the seventh resurrections. But if I can get through this quickly, I just want you to look at one verse right now in Luke chapter 21. I like this verse. People don't talk about this enough because they have a preconceived notion of something that they've already been told, that every single person that said the name, that prayed that prayer, Jesus save me, that had been baptized, that had been coming to church, that had bring their Bibles every day, put money in the plate. Everybody thinks that they're all going to go up in the rapture. And I want everyone to go into rapture, and so does God. But there's going to be a lot of people left behind. There's going to be a lot of people. And that's where we've got to really take the words of Christ seriously. Because if he tells us, you better watch and you better pray, because I come in an hour you know not. Therefore, watch and pray. And he talks about being wise and being foolish. And I just want us to, as the church, to take him at his word and just know that he's coming. He's coming back and he's going to take us up. But you're not going to miss it if you're close to the Lord. You don't have to worry about it. You're never going to miss the rapture if you're walking with the Lord. It's never. But those that are backslidden, those that are away from God, I don't know about them. I do not know, because I know my Lord, and I know when he says things, he means it. He doesn't just say it to say it. When he says it, and it's scary at first, someone will come along, oh, no, he didn't mean that. No, he means it when he says it. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Just one verse, and then we're going to move on. It's Jesus said, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I take that very literally, because there's going to be a lot of people that aren't worthy to go up in the rapture. I don't think they're converted, personally, and I think that every single person needs to be exactly like the Bible says, when you be converted. When does conversion happen? It's supposed to happen when you're born again. Amen. So my thing is, people say all saved are going. This is what I like to say. All born again children of God are going. Because a lot of people have salvation up here, but they really aren't converted in their hearts. Amen, Tony? We were just talking about that. Tony's like in my office this morning. So I just don't understand that people don't come to church. I just don't understand. I'm like, me either, Tone. I don't understand. How can you be born of the Spirit of God living inside of you? Sometimes every heart is a ground. And everybody's different. And everybody needs something to get their hearts right with God. Can I get an amen to that? Now, whether it's a tragedy, whether it's a message, whether it's a song, whatever it is to get your hearts right with God, that's ultimately why we're here, Joe, to get our hearts right with God, to receive Christ, the atonement, have salvation, and now have a relationship with God. Because what kind of a relationship is it if you don't meet him, talk to him, spend time in his word? What kind of relationship do you have? And it's just being real. You know, it's like it's a husband that never tells his wife he loves him. Or a husband and or a wife that never gives her husband a kiss. Or, you know, they just, and they don't really have a relationship. And you're like saying they're married, but there's really no relationship. And that, with Christ, we have to have a relationship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You have a relationship with Christ, you have nothing to worry about. And that's a preacher's job, is to bring us back to God. Amen. Look with me, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to go quickly here because we already looked at these last week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and starting in verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope." I want you to understand that when he says that are asleep, when you are dead in Christ, when you die as a Christian, you're never called the dead. You're called asleep. You know why? Because you're not really dead. Your body's just resting. Your soul's with the Lord. And one day that body's going to be resurrected and the soul is going to be put back into a resurrected body and you're going to live forever with Christ. Amen? As he is, we are too. Meaning his body was resurrected. He was changed. In the moment of twinkling eyes, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise. And it says, and I'm here to tell you right now, at the last trump, it says corruption must put on incorruption. Must. This corrupted body has got to be changed into the glorious body of Christ. The incorrupted body of Christ. That's why we are planted in this body like a seed is planted. And except a seed fall to the ground and die, it cannot come forth and bring forth new fruit. So I'm here to tell you that we are going to be resurrected. Look with me in the same chapter, verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what do? We comfort one another." It's a wonderful, wonderful time. The resurrection of the church is when Jesus comes back to this earth to take his church, which is who? The bride of Christ. We are his woman. Just remember that. Andrew, how long ago did you get married?
4 years.
4 years. You're still in the honeymoon phase. Even though you have two children, I know it's a long honeymoon, but the thing is when you remember that when you were engaged, remember when you couldn't wait for the wedding? You get excited for the wedding's coming, you get nervous, you're like, "Oh man, I'm going." That's how Christ is. He can't wait for the wedding. He cannot wait. There's no way that he's ever going to let his bride, his wife, his woman that he gave his life for, do you understand? He gave his blood, his soul, his body for. He's no way he's going to let his woman go through the tribulation and the wrath of God. That is impossibility, not going to happen. He's coming to take his bride away. When people try to tell you, "Oh, well, no, we're going up in the middle of the tribulation, we're going up at the end," they don't have a clue what they're talking about. They don't. They're wrong. All right? You're allowed to be wrong. You're allowed to be wrong. Just realize, study it, find out you're wrong and change. Amen? I'm allowed to be wrong. You're allowed to be wrong. I don't care what people think. We have to look at what the scripture says. With that said, I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm skipping some because we already looked at it last week. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is one of my favorite things to read about the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the body. Because we call it the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not in the Bible, Joe. It's the catching away. But we know that really what it is, it's the resurrection. We call it the rapture, but it's really the resurrection of the saints. Amen? So on the fourth resurrection is the church, the dead in Christ and those which are alive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren," he's begging you, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the what?" Say it, church. "Gathering together unto him." That's what he's talking about, the same thing, about the catching away. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now I want you to think about that. The day of the resurrection, the rapture of the church, is at hand. He's written this 2,000 years ago, and look what it says. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, you know what day he's talking about, right? The resurrection shall not come. And he tells you, except there come a falling away first. Anybody notice anything in the church today? Notice a lot of empty pews? It's like that all over the world. There's a great falling away. There really is. We're in that falling away. There's no doubt of that. But look what it says. This is what I want you to see. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I'm going to show you two times where it says that he is revealed. Let's keep reading and I'll get back to that verse. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the what? What's he sitting in? See, he cannot come, the Antichrist, until the temple is built. So the Antichrist isn't going to show and reveal himself of who he really is until the temple's built. When will the temple be built? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you that in a minute. Look what it says. Showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And he says, and now you know what withholdeth. What withholds what? The Antichrist coming. What's stopping the resurrection and the Antichrist to show up right now? What's holding it back? The Holy Spirit is. The church is. The Holy Ghost that's inside of you, because there's souls that you love. My family, your family, need to be saved. Amen? God is not slack concerning his promise, and it says in the Bible, as some men count slack, but he's long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish. Not that your wives should go to hell, and your children should go to hell, and your aunts, and your uncles, and your mom. God doesn't want that, no matter what you think. Why hasn't it happened? Why isn't it going to happen today or tomorrow? Now, no one knows the day or now, and I don't know, and I'm ever even going to say I do. But I do know what the scripture tells us. He says that day shall not come first, except there come a falling away. We're in it. I mean, we're close. It's intimate. But there's something that has to happen. Look what it says, and the man of sin be revealed. Not to the world, to the church. The man of sin, the Antichrist, must be revealed to us. We know who he is. And I'm not talking about he's in stage. I'm not talking about he's on the earth saying I am the Antichrist or I am the none of that. Your spirit, the Bible tells us. Well, I want to hurry up, so I'll let you read it yourself. Look what it says, verse 5. Remember not that when I was with you, I told you these things. In verse 7, for the mystery, what is it now? It's a mystery. Whenever you see the Bible says for the mystery, that's why people don't have it figured out, Brother Dwayne, because it's a mystery. Some people just don't get it. The mystery of godliness. People just don't get the Trinity. There's certain things that the mystery of the church, Christ and the church. It's a mystery. People just don't get it. They think that the church has replaced Israel. There's a replacement theology out there, right, brother? No, they don't get it. They're not spiritually discerned, and they're missing the mysteries of the kingdom of God and of heaven. They're different. The kingdom of God is within you. That comes first. Then the kingdom of heaven comes. But anyway, look in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets it work, look, lets, will, until he be what? Taken out of the way. Did you read that? That's what's got to happen before the Antichrist can really come and do it, is we have got to be taken out of the way. The church, the bride, the light of the world, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ has got to be removed off this planet before the Antichrist will be allowed to have his rule and his power. Does that make sense to anybody? Look what it says. And then, verse 8, and then shall that wicked, what's that word say? Be revealed. See, the first revealing is to us. We're just going to know. You know why? Because it tells us that we are children of light. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse 5. You all there? Amen. Brother Dwayne, you there? Yes. Read it nice and loud.
Yes. We are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
See, you got to realize, God said, we are the children of the light. Not of the dark. We don't walk in darkness. We don't stumble. See, the spirit that is in you, the light that is in you, will reveal to you, that's the Antichrist. The world won't know it. The backsliders won't know it. The Jews won't know it yet. Everyone won't know it yet, but we're going to know. If you walk in the light as he is in the light. Because what happens when you walk in the light as he is in the light? You have what? Fellowship, one with another. Right? And that fellowship, it's just like when God was fellowshipping with Abraham and God said these words, should I hide from Abraham that thing that I'm going to do? And the thing is the Holy Spirit will reveal. Well, you'll know. Oh, and you'll know. Jesus called us a hypocrite if you don't. He said, oh, you hypocrites. You can tell when the west wind's coming and summer's coming. You can tell when the spring's coming. You can tell when the bud's coming. But you can't discern the coming of the signs of the Son of Man, you hypocrites. So you don't sit there and say, I walk with God. I talk with God. I pray in the Spirit. I read in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. But then you don't know spiritual things. You know what I'm saying? Has anybody in their spirit right now realized that we are in the end times? Has anybody, do you feel it?
Yeah.
You don't need a Bible verse to tell you, do you? You know it. It's coming. Oh, it's close. Real close. That's why this is important. Look in Mark chapter 13 real quick. No, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to miss it because of time. We already read it. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sins. So it's in the light. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 24. And then we're going to go to Mark 13. I'm sorry I'm going fast because that clock and I'm going to get this done. It's funny when you look at your notes and you go, oh man, I'm going to be done this in 15 minutes. And then you start jabbering and you're like, uh-oh. Look in Matthew chapter 24 with me, please. You all there? Look in verse 42. It says this. It says, Jesus is speaking. He says, watch therefore. For what's he say? For you know not what hour the Lord does come. I'm here to tell you right now, when Jesus said watch, you look it up over and over and over and over, Joe. He said, watch therefore and pray, because you know not the hour your Lord comes. Watch, I say, and pray. Watch, I say, and pray. Why do you think he told us over and over and over, Brother Terry, to watch and pray? Why do you think? Let me figure it out. Maybe because we need to watch and pray. You think? Yeah. And look what he says in Mark. Look in Mark 13. Mark 13, 37. He says this. He says, and what I say unto you, I say unto, what's it say? All.
Watch.
He's not just talking to the apostles. He's not just talking to his disciples. He's talking to us right now. Because the whole context of that is in verse 35. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Watch, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I was taught when I first started going to church, independent, that it doesn't matter, as long as you're saved, you're going up in the rapture. Did you ever hear that, Andrew? As long as you're saved, you're going up. Me too. That's all I've heard. Read the scriptures clearly. It doesn't really point that way. It says all that are ready, all that are watching, all that are praying. See, if you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. But if you're away from God, you're totally away from God. What's it say about rioting and drinking and beating your manservants? I mean, like, he gives us warning after warning after warning. And there's a reason for it all. Look with me, if you would. Let me see where I want to go with this. I just had something in my head pop in there when I was talking, and then it just went away. That's what happens when you don't feel good. But anyway, let's move on just for sake of time. Oh, Matthew 25. That's where I want to go. Matthew 25 is one of my favorite verses because it really is clear. It's very, very clear. And people say that he's just talking to the Jewish people here, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, I have to disagree, because he's talking to the Jews. Then what he's talking about also is he's talking about a resurrection. And look what he says in verse 25. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the who? The bridegroom. See, these are all church folks. These are all believers. They all believe he's coming. We've heard he's coming from the beginning of whenever he got saved. It says, And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Let me ask you a question. What is oil type of? The Holy Spirit of God, right? But here in this instance, the oil was the only thing that was going to light their lamp. The oil was literally a material that they had to have to light their lamp. And they knew they needed that light, that lamp, to be lit to be taken up with the Lord. Keep reading. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now I'm talking about the light and talking about the darkness. If you are walking with the Lord and you are, as Brother Andrew was talking about, I loved about, if you look in Romans chapter 11, talks about Israel, and it talks about how Israel was a natural olive branches and that they received the oil from the root of the, and they were cast off because of unbelief. And us being wild olive branches didn't belong. We're grafted in and we're partakers of that oil, the Holy Ghost, right? And that's how you produce the fruit through there. So if you have no oil, there's no fruit in your life. You have no oil, there's no light for your life. And Jesus told us, you are the light of the world, right? Amen. And it says a light cannot be hid. I'm here to tell you, these people right here had some serious problems. Half of the church, there's 50, he said half, 10 people, half of them were not ready. And I believe with all my heart, 50% of the church is going to be left behind. When I say church, Christendom. Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopals, you name it. Everyone who claims to be Christian. You know what I'm saying? 50% of them are going to be left behind. I believe that. And I also believe that those that are in good fundamental Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches, way, way, way less of them will be left behind because they hear the preaching. They hear the teaching. What happens when you hear that? Doesn't that put a little fear of God in you? Doesn't it put a little fear of God? And it ought to. It ought to put a fear of God. If you don't have fear of God in you, then you're a fool. You're not wise. You ought to have the fear of God in you. I'll tell you right now, because even he says that in Romans 11, it says that if you boast against the branches, it says, take heed, brother. He said, because you don't hold on to the branch. The branch is holding on to you. The root is holding on. We need to hold on to Christ so tight. So knowing that he's our only hope, our savior, our salvation, that is how you never have to worry about your salvation because you have that relationship. People worry about their salvation. You know why? Because they're not right with God. And God's not going to give you that revelation. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 6. The fifth resurrection is the tribulation saints. You mean that those that get left behind, listen to me, just because you get left behind doesn't mean you're going to hell. Just because you're left behind doesn't mean you're not going to get raptured up. Just because you're left behind doesn't mean you're going to get resurrection. Absolutely you are if you don't take the mark of the beast. See, the problem is right now you have everything you need and people still have a problem coming to church, reading their Bibles, being serious for the Lord, don't they, Tony? Right? Why? Because something's wrong with their heart. Something is wrong with people's hearts that won't even come to church on Sunday morning. Something's seriously wrong with that heart. Steve had something wrong with his heart. You know what it did? It made him weak. It made him tired. He knew something's wrong. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're so weak in your faith that you can't get to church every Sunday morning at least, if you can't read your Bible a little bit, if you don't have a real prayer time, something's wrong with your heart. You need a heart some operation. You know what I'm saying? And an operation cuts and an operation hurts, doesn't it, Steve? It ain't going to crack you open. Nothing. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to your heart, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it flows all the issues of life. I'll tell you right now, people got a lot of issues, right? The one issue they should never have is, am I truly saved? You should know that you know that you know. And to most people, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm saved. They still doubt. They haven't been baptized maybe. Maybe they don't come to church. You know what I mean? There's like all these things. Well, God loves them. And God wants something to happen in their life to get them ready. Okay, yes, Lord. Now, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's an car accident. Sometimes it's a disease. I know people that have cancer and then they still smoke. I know a young lady who had cancer in our church and she got half her lung cut out and next time we see her outside smoking. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, hello? Hello? McFly? It's like, how dumb are you? Like you see, and people, because they just don't, it just, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't affect them. And some things are going to have to get real serious on Christians that claim to be Christians. Because I'll tell you right now, being left behind, if you get left behind, you're going to get real serious for God real quick. Real quick. Because you're going to hurt it, you're going to know, and that's a whole story for another time. But look with me in Revelation chapter 6. Look with me in verse 9. It says, Okay, wrong verse. There you go, verse 9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." These are the tribulation saints, meaning tribulation people that are left behind, and it's also Jews, Gentiles, and we're going to look at some more of that. But these are people that know not to take the mark. You know what's going to happen to them? How many people have not taken the vaccine and you've been getting some slack? Yeah, my wife just lost her job. She got fired. And military and police all over the place because they won't take the vaccine. What do you think will happen to you when you won't take the mark of the beast? What do you think? You think losing your job, you won't be able to? Right now, I wanted to go on a cruise with my wife. We can't even get on a cruise. And in New York City, you can't get in a restaurant. In L.A., you can't. You think it's something now? Wait till it's real, the real thing, the real deal. This is a precursor. And I'm here to tell you right now, what's going to happen is if you won't take the mark, you will be put in prison. And if you won't take the mark, you'll be killed. And that's what's going on. But they'll be killed for what? For their faith in Christ. Their faith in God. Because the only people that will not take the mark during this time are those that truly believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Anyway, look with me, if you would, please, in chapter 7. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That is a great question. That is a great question. That's a great question. Because the Bible tells us that the Antichrist is going to give the great lie. So you have to answer, what is this great lie? And he says that he's going to be, because he's the deceiver, he is the devil incarnate. And Jesus said he is the father of lies. So he'll sell a snowball to an Eskimo, you know what I mean, and get a good price for it. He'll make you leave anything. But the big lie, what is the big lie? I believe what the big lie is that when millions of people gone, nobody knows how it's going to happen. Some people say there's going to be a pile of clothes left behind. You know what I mean? Like some people say there's going to be blood on a pile of clothes left behind. Some people, we don't really know, Andrew, how it's the resurrection, the rapture of the we which are alive. We know how the dead are going to be, or the they that sleep, they're already in the grave. Their bodies are going to be resurrected. Their souls are in heaven with God. They're going to be reunited. Amen. What about us that are alive? It says, for it's appointed unto men once to die. I think we're all going to die somehow. I don't know if it's going to be blood and clothes. I don't know. But I do know that we're going to be gone. All right. We're either going to be dead. We're all. Could you imagine just two scenarios? One of everyone's a born again Christian just dies. Right. So can you imagine if the whole world just say 50, 100 million people just die all of a sudden. And all of a sudden that would cause panic everywhere. Like you think that what's going on now. But then if somebody stepped up and said, they were all the enemies of God. They claimed Jesus was the Savior. They claim, you know what I mean? And God killed them. God killed them. Man, what a lie. Because it says that he was so good at it, he'd even deceive the very elect. This lie is going to be such a great lie. So I believe the lie is the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the bodies of Christ. Where'd they come? Where'd they go? What happened? Because if you read, and I don't have the time, it says that the Antichrist is going to make accusations against the saints in heaven, against God, against all those that were Bible believers. And so he's going to say this great lie against the true believers that are gone. And he's going to get the whole world to believe him because he's going to have all the answers to everything. And so therefore, the whole world's going to follow this man because if we all are gone, the only people that are really going to know what happened are the people that are in the church. People that are hearing about this. They're the only ones that are going to know, oh my goodness, I got left behind. The rest of the world that wouldn't receive the love of the truth, what's the Bible say to them? God's going to send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. That Christ is not real. Jesus is not the Messiah. All the Jews will be happy to believe that, won't they, in Israel? And all that, you know, oh, see, I told you, we told you he wasn't him. He's the Messiah. And he's going to claim to be the Messiah and have the the false prophet do miracles in front of him. And everyone's going to believe in him. And then at that moment in time, let me hurry up, see if I can finish, get to that point. So, chapter 7, look in verse 9 with me. It says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, if we run, just go down to verse 13, it says, and one of the elders answering said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where'd they come from? He's talking to John, and John says, and I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and which have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, this is another resurrection. During, we get resurrected first, amen, we're part of the first fruits with Christ. And then those that go through the tribulation don't take the mark, all that, all this people are saved, they are going to be killed, and they're going to be resurrected to meet, and that's why it says give them white robes unto them. And I'm going quickly. Look at, with me in Revelation chapter 11, just so I can hurry up and finish. Then we, if we have any time for questions. Revelation chapter 11, look in verse 3 with me. I'm looking in my Bible like, there it is. I like, Pastor Abraham 11. Verse 3 says, and I will give power unto my, say it, church, two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours the enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which where also our Lord was crucified. What city is that, Brother Andrew? Jerusalem. And it says, and they of the people of the kindreds and the tongues and the nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer. That means allow their dead bodies to be put in grace. So that means all the world's going to see these two witnesses in Jerusalem. They're going to have power. They're going to be preaching even after, during the tribulation period time, in the end of the 3.5 years where the great tribulation, where the wrath of God is being poured out, where evil is this unbelievable hell on earth. And there's going to be the resurrection of those tribulation saints that wouldn't take the mark, that have been killed during that time, there's going to be two witnesses, and they are going to be God's anointed people that he told. Many people think they're who? Elijah and Moses, right? But some people think it's Elijah and Enoch, because they're the only two that never died. We don't know, but it's probably Elijah and Moses, but, you know, it could be Enoch in there. We don't know. Either way, but my point is these two men are going to be preaching. Why do you think God has two witnesses? Because he's always got a witness. He's got a witness in everything. He's got a witness of Christ in everything, because he does not want anyone to go to hell. Even at the very end, he's preaching, come to Christ. So, and it says that in verse 11, it says, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God enters into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all of them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven, and the cloud and their enemies beheld them. That's the... that is the sixth resurrection. So what we have is we have the rapture of the church. That's the first. That's the fourth resurrection. The fifth is the tribulation saints during that time. The sixth is the two witnesses. And then the seventh and the last one, I didn't even get to the 144,000. There's going to be 144,000 Jews sealed on their foreheads that God has chosen. See, all through Scripture, God talks about a remnant, doesn't he? He talked about Elijah, and Elijah said, I'm the last one left. And he said, no, I have 7,000 that have not what? Bowed their knee to Baal. And that's the same thing as bowing to the, taking the mark of the beast. I have seven, and so he has 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And they go out in the whole earth and they preach the gospel to every living creature, like we're supposed to be doing. See, God is so good. See, even when we don't do the job, God's still going to have people do it. God is so good. And you might think, well, then all is lost for the rest. No, you know what he does after that? He has an angel fly through heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. God's always preaching and preaching until the very, very end. Isn't God good? He's so kind. He's so good. And that's why right now, during the church age, the open door, whosoever will, come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Amen. I'll give you security in heaven. I'll give you salvation. Why would anybody not want Christ right now in this time? Why would anybody not follow the Lord in every detail of his life? Why would anybody reject him? Why? It's insane, isn't it? It's really crazy. Let's look at the last verse. Revelation chapter 20. This is the last resurrection. And this is the resurrection you do not want to be in. But it's going to happen. Revelation chapter 20, look in verse 6 with me. It says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's us. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Look in verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the final and the seventh resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of those that are in hell. Those that have died and not made it to heaven, have not had their names written down or not washed in the blood, but they will be resurrected to stand in their bodies and be judged for everything they've ever done. This is the final resurrection of the dead. And that's the resurrection you don't want to be in. Amen? And I had a message one time called, everyone's going to heaven. Because you know where that resurrection takes place? You know where that judgment seat of Christ? In heaven. So that means even the dead are getting out of heaven before they get cast in the lake of fire. Amen. We are out of time. Church is going to start in about 7 minutes. There's some coffee and donuts and stuff in the kitchen. If you want to take a couple times to go get some coffee and get a bottle of water or something like that. And we'll start no later.